and learn what we're doing to stand up for your freedoms. This Nevada Policy Update has been brought to you in partnership with the Nevada Trucking Association.
I'm Kent Davenport of Quality Hearing Aids. The power of electrical devices is measured in the wattage that they use. A 1,500-watt hairdryer will dry hair faster than a 1,000-watt one. Hearing loss might be measured in wattage, as in, what did you say, or just what? Studies have shown that people with untreated hearing loss often become frustrated, leading to irritation, withdrawal, isolation, and loneliness, and are sometimes viewed by others as being disinterested, aloof, or crotchety. Not good. So if you or someone you love is suffering from too much wattage, call Shelley. Come in, find out what we can do about it. No charge. Kent Davenport, Quality Hearing Aids, QHALV.com, 369-1321, QHALV.com, 369-1321.
Did you get a call or message that mentioned Social Security that made you feel threatened or scared? That is not the Social Security Administration. Social Security will not threaten you, press you for personal information, or demand instant payment. Social Security does not accept payments by gift card, prepaid debit card, internet currency, or by mailing cash. Criminals use these forms of payment because they are hard to trace. Don't fall for it. Hang up, ignore them. Report this criminal activity to oig.ssa.gov.
Produced at U.S. taxpayer expense.
It's all about Las Vegas. Live and local with Kevin Wall. Now, weekday afternoons, noon to 3 on AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
He's back. Yes, I'm talking about Adam Laxalt. He just returned from a two-day tour of the U.S. southern border over the weekend. You know what is just really weird for me? The thought that his opponent, incumbent Senator Catherine Cortez Masto, has refused to visit the border, the southern border, since Biden took office, and the border crisis has worsened exponentially. That means it keeps getting worse and worse and worse and worse. I was fascinated by the comments of Adam Laxalt. He said, quote, "The Biden administration's catastrophic failure at our southern border has created a humanitarian crisis that deeply impacts Nevada's economy and security." And yet somehow, someway, Catherine Cortez Masto is missing in action. How can that be? We'll talk about that and a whole lot more coming up. Scott Hammond will join us, State Senator, Nevada District 18. We're going to talk about education and a whole lot more. It's all straight ahead on AM 670 KMZQ, where news is next.
Schools think they're doing a great job teaching kids and listening to parents? Probably not. It's time to shake things up. The Community Schools Initiative will allow cities to leave the county school district and create their own, ending the education monopoly. Parents will finally have options and a voice in their child's education. Help make it happen at SaveNevadaSchools.com. Schedule an appointment to sign the petition in your own home. They'll come to you. Together, we can take our schools back. Join the fight at SaveNevadaSchools.com.
Here's a fun fact for you. The average chameleon can point their eyes in two different directions. On the other hand, the average human can't. So unless you're a chameleon, there's absolutely no way you can focus on texting and driving at the same time. So don't do it, unless you're a chameleon.
Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Live from the South Point Hotel, Casino, and Spa Studios.
From the world-famous Las Vegas Strip.
AM 670 KMCQ, Las Vegas.
Locally owned and operated by Kemp Broadcasting and Digital Outdoor.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Keith Peters reporting. Democrats on the January 6th committee today accused former President Trump of calling for violence at the U.S. Capitol.
Bob Agnew reports.
Committee Chairman Benny Thompson says when the president realized he had lost the election,
Donald Trump summoned a mob to Washington, D.C.
Not true, says Mr. Trump, who told supporters last week he and his supporters being punished and silenced for telling the truth.
We are a nation that no longer has a free and fair press. Fake news is about all you get. And they are the true enemy of the people. We are a nation where free speech is no longer allowed.
Many Republicans calling the hearings a kangaroo court for not allowing any Trump defenders to take part. Bob Agnew reporting.
A deadly crime spree hit several 7-Eleven stores in Southern California on Monday, which was 7-Eleven Day, and police say that's not a coincidence. Correspondent Julie Walker reports.
Police are searching for the same lone gunman in several of what Brea Police Captain Phil Rodriguez calls robberies that turned into homicides.
Not 100% sure, but we feel confident that it is the same suspect.
Two people killed, three wounded by the gunman who authorities have surveillance video of.
And we are asking the public's help and identifying that person.
The robberies began around midnight at a 7-Eleven in Ontario, then Upland. In Riverside, a customer was shot. In Santa Ana and Brea, workers were killed. And in La Habra, 5 hours after it all began, two were injured by gunshots. I'm Julie Walker.
New York researchers transplanted pig hearts into two brain-dead people over the last month, the latest in a string of developments in the long quest to one day save human lives with animal organs. On Wall Street, the Dow down by 192 points. More at townhall.com.
My brother-in-law died suddenly, and now my sister and her kids have to sell their home. That's why I told my husband we could not put off getting life insurance any longer. An agent offered us a 10-year, $500,000 policy for nearly $50 a month. Then we called SelectQuote. SelectQuote found us identical coverage for only $19 a month. A savings of $369 a year.
Whether you need a $500,000 policy or a $5 million policy, SelectQuote could save you more than 50% on term life insurance. For your free quote, call SelectQuote at 1-800-940-6161. That's 1-800-940-6161. Or go to SelectQuote.com. That's 1-800-940-6161. SelectQuote. We shop, you save. Full details on example policies at selectquote.com/commercials.
Hey, Kevin Wall here. A few years ago, a friend invited me for an evening of fun at Ichabod's Lounge. Now, Ichabod's isn't in my neighborhood, and yeah, I had to drive an extra 10 minutes. Boy, am I glad I did. What I didn't know at the time was that Ichabod's had been there for over three decades and family-owned for over 20 years. It's one of the top gaming bars in Las Vegas with the best promotions and amazing monthly cash giveaways and payouts. And I love their food. Ichabod's features incredible menu items, including seafood, steaks, burgers, pastas, and five daily specials. And their kitchen is open 24 hours a day for you late-night foodies. What do I like best about Ichabod's? Their old-school Vegas atmosphere. Their bartenders and servers are super friendly. When everyone else is cutting back, Ichabod's continues to super serve its customers. And you'll love their nightly entertainment at the piano bar. You want to win? Then I'll see you at Ichabod's Vintage Vegas Dining, Gaming Lounge, and Piano Bar on East Flamingo at Pecos.
It's 204. This
is your KMZQ News Flash. I'm Jim Dallas. Well, the federal government is once again extending its COVID-19 public health emergency designation, which gives millions of Americans special access to health insurance and telehealth services. The Department of Health and Human Services repeatedly renewed that measure since making the first declaration in January of 2020. The most recent extension was scheduled to end on Friday, July 15th, but the Biden administration said it would give states 60 days before ending that designation. Sir Elton John is returning to Las Vegas, not for another residency, but one show, just one show at Allegiant Stadium. The 75-year-old rock legend has announced a November 1st Las Vegas stop for his Farewell Yellow Brick Road, the final tour. The tickets go on sale on Monday at 10 o'clock. Sir Elton has previously headlined two residencies at the Coliseum at Caesar's Palace.
the Red Piano, and the Million Dollar Piano. He performed some 450 times between those two productions. So Elton John coming back to Las Vegas for one show. Circle it.
KMCQ On Time Traffic is powered by Meineke Car Care Centers.
Right now, get a basic oil change for only $29.95. Meineke, doing car care right.
It's one of those days on Interstate 515. Yeah, very, very sluggish through the lane restrictions. So do expect delays. 515 westbound and Eastern Avenue. Also, remember the overnight road work on Interstate 15 southbound. That's at US 93.
I want you to know that the movement we started is only just beginning. There's never been anything like it. The belief that a nation must serve its citizens will not dwindle, but instead only grow stronger by the day. As long as the American people hold in their hearts deep and devoted love of country, then there is nothing that this nation cannot achieve.
Check it out.
I go from this majestic place with a loyal and joyful heart, an optimistic spirit, and a supreme confidence that for our country and for our children, the best is yet to come.
It ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
Final hour for a Tuesday. Good to have you with us. Kevin Wall with you. I love Tuesdays because we get to talk to Scott Hammond, the state senator from Nevada District 18. He's a regular on Tuesdays, and it's good to have him on board. Scott, how you been? You have a good weekend?
I did, Kevin. It was a really good weekend. I was actually in Boston for a meeting, and I got to see the Yankees and the Red Sox game, so I can't complain.
It sounds good. So you missed the president here on Friday night, but you got to have some fun anyway.
Yeah, exactly. I did miss him, but I did get to go one of my favorite activities. If I'm not watching a game that my girls are a part of, I'm watching probably Yankee baseball.
There you go. I got to ask you about this column from Victor Jakes. I don't know if you've had a chance to see it. I know you've been on the road a bunch. The headline is CCSD gutted grading standards, comma, one in four students still received an F. One out of four students had at least one F on their report card. This thing is getting worse, not getting better, is it?
No, it's not. And no, I did get a chance to read the article, and I think a lot of people, when they read it, they think, okay, so they're just not giving Fs. They just don't flunk anybody. They're not holding kids up to higher standards. I don't know if you can say that's exactly how you have to read that. You know, I've said this on your show many, many times. You know, if you have school choice, then you have a school that comes up with a policy in conjunction with parents and students, staff. They all have a buy-in, and there's a lot of evidence that shows that there's lots of different ways to do this. And one of them, for example, in his article, he talks about how teachers give tests multiple times. That's not always a bad thing. I gave my test several times as well, because what I wanted to make sure is that my students understood the material before we moved on. And so that's not a bad philosophy to have, as well as, you know, it's not a bad way to do it. But the dysfunction that you have is really between CCSD and the parents, and trying to explain to the parents what they're trying to achieve with the policy. What's the end goal here, and how are we going to get there? You know, because we passed this in 2017, and we talked about mastery-based education. When you are, you have a school where you are trying to get kids to do internships, get in some real practical experience, mastery-based education is great. What mastery-based education is, it just basically says, hey, I have to master this before I move on. And so some students can move as fast as they want or as slow as they need to go. and repeat things until they get it, and then go, oh, I get it. Now they have a concrete base in something they can move on. So then kids, you know, remember that I was one of those kids. You may not have been, because I know you're pretty smart.
Oh, yeah. That's close.
Well, I sat there in algebra class thinking, you know, what do I do with algebra? You know, you're just looking out the window going, this doesn't make any sense to me. Well, you know, if you get a school where you're saying, hey, this is a comprehensive mastery-based education, you have to master this, and then you apply what you learn, all of a sudden you're going, wait a second, I just learned this. I applied in a work-based program, and I understand this now, and then you can move on. It's concrete. You know, I hated when I would, you know, I was told by CCSD that you have to teach this. You know, I did Spanish classes. Right. So I'm teaching kids all about AR verbs and ER verbs and IR verbs and how to conjugate them. And, you know, you do it for 3 weeks when you teach them the AR verb. If they didn't get it and you took a test and they failed it and you had to move on because, you know, you were told that you had to cover this, you know, amount of material in this amount of time, then all of a sudden that kid who just didn't get it, you know, they have to move on, and now they're standing on wet cardboard. That's their foundation, is wet cardboard. You don't want that. You want to have a solid foundation. Allow them to keep going back. So you scaffold, you go back. If you're a good teacher, you keep doing that anyway, right? You keep going back, and scaffolding is just a way to go back. And oh, I'm sorry, spiraling is a way to go back, and you spiral back to the information as often as possible. Even if you go into different new material, you still go back. So there's, you know, you look at what he wrote in his article, and I think it's really important that parents know about this and people know about this. But then I also want people to know there are alternatives, and that's what school choice is all about. That's what, you know, microschooling is a wonderful example of how you can actually have a really good functioning collaborative effort between staff, teachers, students, and parents, and really be on the same page and move forward all together. That's the exciting thing about how we can deliver education in the future. So I'm glad he highlighted it in his article.
Again, Scott Hammond joining us, State Senator, Nevada District 18. I had a chance to visit with Erin Phillips, the president and co-founder of Power to Parent, and she gave us an update on the initiatives that they have proposed. One got thrown out by the state Supreme Court. The other one is still hanging fire. Can you give me a sense of where that is? And are we close to giving parents the chance to vote on this kind of a measure?
You know, right now, I'm actually in Florida right now because I'm at the Republican State Leadership Committee, and we're looking at a lot of data. You know, what are voters looking at? What are they concerned about? And, the top issue right now, believe it or not, and I think that people are going to be shocked, but it's not some of the hot button issues of social issues of the day. It's really about the economy. But when you get past the economy, inflation, gas pricing, standard, you know, the day-to-day living expenses. I mean, you get past that, then, you know, education is, again, one of those top issues. And it remains so in states like Nevada, where we are on the cusp of trying something new. And so I really think that this could be one of those issues that could be addressed during the legislative session as well, if it doesn't get addressed in another way. So I think we're right on track to seeing something significant move like they did in Arizona just a couple of weeks ago. They passed, in Arizona, they're touting it as, you know, the comprehensive ESA program. And, I had text messages as soon as that got passed in Arizona saying, hey, they may have it now, but we were the first ones to have it, which is true. We did have it. We just never got it implemented because we never got the money for it. But it's there. I mean, we knew we were onto something in 2015, and we're still onto something. People want to see significant changes in the delivery of education. That's all there is to it. They just want to see a change in it because it's about time.
Another of these initiatives, the Nevada School Initiative, which would allow school districts, or actually cities, to drop out of CCSD and take it from being the fifth largest school district in the nation to maybe the seventh or eighth or tenth or whatever it might be. Is that something, and I'm not sure how closely you've been following it, but is that something that could actually improve educational outcomes?
Yeah, so I've been following it very closely because the people who are moving the needle on this issue, that, you know, going out and talking to voters and getting things done, they're smart people. They are really on it. And so I think that they've got a really good chance because they've got good people who kind of understand the process and are, you know, committed to it. So the energy level of that organization is outstanding, right? So every day we're hearing more and more about how close they are to getting this. I think that you're going to see something significant on this as well. And the time is here. I mean, we keep talking about COVID coming back. I heard it again in the news right before you and I started talking. And everybody's like, wait a second, COVID's coming back. Everybody's worried about a shutdown. And everybody's worried about, what kind of policy is the CCSD going to come out with? Are we going to do another, shutdown of the school districts at some point where kids are on the computer, but not really seen by a teacher because they don't have to have their cameras on? I mean, that was probably the worst policy I've ever heard of, and it has been so detrimental. And I think everybody's still worried about that. It's just a little bit of fear in the back of people's mind. So something like this that gives more autonomy to different school districts, smaller school districts, and gives more voice to the parents because it's, because they're smaller, that's going to resonate really high with parents and educators as well.
I want to ask you, if indeed we take two steps back and we end up with a COVID outbreak or we end up on the high list, will the legislative branch of government here in Nevada, will you guys take on the governor? I mean, if he tries to reassert these emergency powers?
That all depends. I know everybody hates that answer, but it depends because it's going to depend on the makeup of the legislature. I hope that my Democratic colleagues would sit there and say, hey, we had to have more oversight. Well, it's the same thing. Remember, I last week we talked about this call, and there was going to be more of an emphasis. I'm going to push even more to get information to audit the governor and all the spending he made with all the money coming in from the federal government during the time of emergency. And my colleagues on the other side of the aisle should be right there. We should be locked arm in arm on this because it's a legislative mandate. That's one of the things we're supposed to do, is to have a check over the powers of the executive branch. And I would hope that we could appeal to them, show them where we need to push back on the governor and the governor's decision-making, because there's no way he should have that kind of autonomy where he has been able to shut down the state for more than 90 days without having some sort of legislative oversight. And we proposed that during we actually proposed an emergency legislative session in order to pass a bill that would do just that, put him in check and make sure that there was some sort of 90-day trigger, 60-day trigger in some cases, maybe 30-day, extra days. It was all up for discussion. But at least we were, debating. We wanted to have a debate on what kind of limits the governor should have and that kind of power. And it should. It should happen.
We are now being told that in a few months we're going to have the start of the fall semester. And we are 1,500 teacher vacancies short. Is that the kind of number you've been hearing from CCSD? And if it is, why does it keep happening? I mean, every year we know when the school year is going to start. We know when day one begins. And yet we always have these 700, 900, 1,000 vacancies. Now we're up to 1,500 vacancies. Why does it keep happening?
Yeah, it's getting worse, right? It's not getting better as the years go by. It's getting higher. The number keeps getting higher. It's several factors, though. You can't just say it's, X or Y. It is several things. When I stopped teaching at CCSD, funny thing, nobody actually asked me why I left. There was no exit interview. There was no, hey, what drove you away? Was it maybe because you got a better job in another state, or maybe you got a better job in the private sector? They didn't get any of that information, which is a tragedy, because if you don't know why people are leaving, how do you then correct for the absences, or how do you correct what could retain more teachers at CCSD? Now, it's not all CCSD's fault. There's a lot of other things, factors that are going on nationwide. I can't imagine going to college right now and saying to myself, I think I'm going to go into education. Because what they're asking teachers to do on a day-to-day basis, week-to-week, month-to-month, is just overwhelming. And it just really, not just frustrating, it actually it makes some of these teachers, I don't know what the right word is. What would you say? They sweat. They actually are frozen. I mean, every day it just seems like it's more and more work that they have to do, more paperwork, things that don't equate in my mind to student achievement. That's what they're asked to do. And so when you do that, now all of a sudden they've got more responsibilities and less time. And so who wants to go into teaching? And so the pipeline itself, the pipeline, the schools that produce these teachers, they're drying up. And that's been the last 10 years as well. I've been talking about it for more than 10 years. I go to conferences where they talk about this. They just can't get students to get into the teaching profession.
Well, and again, can I tell you what I hear from teachers in the Clark County School District? I don't think I've talked to anybody outside the district, is that they don't feel respected. They don't pay them well. They are demanding more and more of their personal time be used for school business, mm-hmm. and they're not willing to reimburse them. I mean, they have to go out and get their own school supplies.
Yeah, no, we changed that. No, in 2015, we actually had a bill that actually allowed teachers, we gave them hundreds of dollars to go out there and buy school supplies. So we're trying to do these things, but you're right. I'm telling you, my wife now is in a school. She was in a charter school, and sometimes the charter schools aren't learning the lessons that CCSD is providing them. And so they're going down sometimes the wrong paths as well. So you're getting that across the board. I don't care if it's public or charter or whatever. They keep overburdening the teachers, the most valuable resource, even today, even with all the technology and all the new things that are out there available for us to help deliver education, but still the most valuable tool in our arsenal is that teacher in the classroom. And so they have to respect it, respect her or his time. You got to make sure that they're not overburdening them, overwhelming them with more and more responsibilities, clubs, after school clubs. I mean, it's nice. Some of them I coached, I loved it. But you can't have them coach every season for every kind of sport. You can't have them do all kinds of clubs. You can't have them doing, teaching other teachers how to do things. My wife, I mean, just I hear it all the time. You know, teachers are approached and they say, hey, can you teach other teachers how to do X on top of being a coach, on top of doing a club, on top of what other responsibilities? Oh, morning responsibilities or afternoon responsibilities. It's just too much. And the minute that one of these administrators figures this out, they're going to be able to retain staff. And when you retain staff, you get that continuity that students thrive on. And then you got the student achievement goes up. I mean, there's also little things that help student achievement, but that's one of them right there.
One of the things that helps student achievement, I would think, is summer school. And I've known some teachers that were teaching summer school this year, some students that were in summer school. Can you talk about the significance of summer school and does it really help move the needle for some kids?
Oh, absolutely. For some kids, it absolutely does. And it's just, again, who's conducting the summer school? How is it being conducted? It's got to be more than just glorified babysitting. And I'm not saying that it's only glorified babysitting at this point, but we know that there are some because we hear about them. But it does help a lot. I know one of my kids attended summer school and benefited a lot, took a class over the summer, and it was great because then you don't have that summer slide, that summer slide that happens once in a while. Worse than COVID. I know the COVID slide happened, but when you learn so much and then summer comes and then you forget a little bit of that information, you go back to school in the fall and you're not as smart as you were back in June.
Well, and the other thing is, does it allow kids to play catch up for those that struggled during the pandemic and then came back and struggled for a variety of reasons? Can it help them catch up though?
Sure. I mean, we started the conversation out with, the new policies, the minimum Fs, and the fact is there are some students who, if you don't, put it this way, if you have a student who, for some reason, at the beginning of the semester, had something happen to their family, had something happen to them personally, and they just don't turn in homework, and all of a sudden they got Fs in all their classes, that student just gives up. If there's no way to really overcome that F, and they give up. Well, that does happen once in a while, but then there are some students who, because they're gritty, because they just want to, they've seen the light, if you will, all of a sudden they go, hey, I want to make something of myself. Now all of a sudden you got summer school that can give them the opportunity to overcome some of the difficulties they had maybe at the beginning of their high school career, their freshman or sophomore years where they dug a hole for themselves. Well, that's what summer school does. It provides them the opportunity to do that, provides them the opportunity to make up some of those points that they need in order to graduate.
Scott, I always love getting together with you. I thank you for getting together on the road. You're in Florida now. Safe travels home.